Before we look at the text this morning, I want to share a story with you, a true story that I read several years ago. One of the former presidents, and I'd like to say it was Woodrow Wilson, but I can't for sure state it was him, but he and the First Lady attended church faithfully every Sunday while they were in the White House. And one morning she was ill and informed the president that she wasn't going to church. But she said, I want you to pay close attention to what the minister has to say and come back and tell me, you know, what his message was. And the president said, all right. He went to church and he came home. And his wife said, well, what'd the minister talk about it? He said, well, it was out of the Bible. And she said, well, I figured it'd be out of the Bible. What was his text? He said, well, he talked about sin. She said, all right, what did he say? He said, I'm pretty sure he was against it. Now, you can draw two conclusions from that story. Either the minister didn't expound good enough on the text, or Mr. President wasn't paying very much attention. This is a short text this morning, but we have some background I want to bring with it. You ought to be thankful I cut this back 2 pages. I decided I don't want to give you all that because you'd be looking out the windows and getting that glassy look in your eyes. I'm going to touch on some highlights. But I want to talk about all things new this morning and specifically about what we call the Lord's Supper, communion. Jesus came to make all things new. And that was the focus at the Last Supper. That was the announcement he made. But sadly, his men didn't get it. And I know that because I think it's in the Gospel of John. After they did this, John said after supper, they began to argue who was going to be the greatest in his cabinet. And our Lord took a towel and water, and you remember he washed their feet. So it went right over the top of their heads. They got it after the resurrection, but they didn't get it at the moment. The text is out of Luke 22. Verses 19 through 20, and like I've always said, don't think just because there's 2 verses, oh boy, we're going to get out of here quick. I will try to keep it within time since we're doing communion after the message. But Luke writes, and he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Father, I thank you for your word, for your truth. I thank you for those who were able to make it this morning. Lord, I just pray that you will bless us, encourage us with this text. Wake us up, Lord. Help us to be more focused when we gather around this table of memory. I just pray a blessing on everyone here. Bless those who couldn't be here. And I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Jesus and his disciples were celebrating the Passover. Now, I know everybody in here says, well, I know that. The first institution, or the institution of the Passover, we find in the 12th chapter of Exodus. I had the whole chapter recorded, but I thought, no, I'm not going to do that to you. So I want to touch on the highlights of it. Just bear with me. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. That's a good thing. When I thought about that, God said, this is how you're going to start your year out, every year, first month of the year. He said, tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill the lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the 2 doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall eat it. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, go and select lambs for yourselves according to your clans and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your house to strike. You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and your sons forever. And when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? You shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for he passed over the houses of Israel in Egypt when he struck down the Egyptians and spared our houses. And the people bowed their heads in worship. I know you're all familiar with this passage. God had brought 9 judgments against the Egyptians because Pharaoh refused to let his people go. Every judgment was more severe every time. And he told Moses, this 10th one, this last plague, he will thrust you out. He won't ask you to leave. He will push you out. And God told Moses, he said, I'm going to kill every firstborn male. So he said, you got to take this lamb's blood and put it on the doorpost. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over. Hence the name Passover. So this was God instituted. God told Moses, you do this every year, the first month of the year, Abib, which is our month, April. He said, on the 14th day of the month, you kill the lamb. For 7 days, you'll eat unleavened bread. He said, I don't even want you to have leaven or yeast in the house. Your bread can't have yeast in it. It has to be a perfect lamb, a male, a year old, no blemish. And he said, when I see that blood, I won't let the destroyer come in and get you. Now, you can imagine the people of Israel have grown used to the fact that when Moses said, this is what the Lord says, it happened. And can you imagine the moms and the dads, the family standing there when Moses is given these instructions and they're hanging on every word? Because they realize God is talking to us through Moses and God's going to do this. So I don't think any of them were halfway listening. I don't think dad got home and mom said, well, Moses said, oh, he said something about eating lamb and bread. I can't remember. You know, he didn't do that. They paid very strict attention. This was the life of their firstborn. Now, I've told you before, the blood was to atone for their sin. Now, there'd be some theologians might argue and say, you don't know what you're talking about. That's fine. They got a right to be wrong, as far as I'm concerned. God told Israel, I didn't pick you because you were holy. I didn't pick you because there was anything about you to be picked. You didn't have anything that appealed to me. He said, I picked you out of my covenant love for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, you're mine. And he said, you are a stiff-necked, rebellious people. You never listen to me. I'm all the time having to judge you. But this time the judgment was coming on the gods of Egypt. God said, I'm going to execute judgment on their gods. You remember the magicians were able to mimic some of the signs Moses did, but there was one time, I think it's with the gnats, and they come into old Pharaoh and said, this is God's finger. You know, man, we can't mimic this. How many of you want to scratch right now? Actually, kind of, you know, when somebody gets to itching or yawning. I'm sorry, I got sidetracked. But anyway, God said, I'm going to execute judgment on Egypt and their gods. No other God had been able to do what God did. And he also said, this is going to be a memorial. I want it done the 14th of April every year. And I want you to teach your children from it. Because kids are naturally curious. And pretty soon, when the kids got big enough, they're going to say, Daddy, why do we do this every year? I'm glad you asked, son. So it was also to be used as a teaching point to their children. Mom and Dad would recount the story of when God brought us out of Egypt, and he spared you. He spared our firstborn, but he killed the Egyptians. It said the people bowed their head and worshiped. I believe, this is my opinion, I believe it because they knew they were finally leaving Egypt. They had seen enough evidence. They had seen God's signs. Everything Moses said was going to happen, happened. Everything God told Moses to tell them came to pass. And Moses says, get ready. Now, I didn't read this in the text, but in the first Passover, God said, have your sandals on, have your belt on, have your staff in your hand, and eat it in a hurry, because you're leaving. The firstborn died at midnight. Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, get thee out now. Well, I've seen in movies where they show the Jews walking out in broad daylight. That's not scriptural. They left in the middle of the night. Pharaoh said, don't stop and visit. You know, don't recollect. Leave. We want you out of here today, now. Now, the Passover today, they don't do with the whole sandals and everything, you know. But they had to then. And I believe they worshiped because the people knew we're finally going to get delivered from slavery. This is the night. All right. Having said that, let's focus on the Lord's Supper now. The scriptures say that the law is but a shadow of the good things to come instead of the true form of these realities. Now, that doesn't mean the Passover wasn't true. But it means everything in the law, everything that you and I read in the law, points to Jesus Christ. Okay? I want to establish that. I know you know this. I'm preaching to the choir, but this is something it's been in my heart, but I really want to talk about. The scriptures say, consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you've prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings, you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. When he said above, you have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law. Then he added, behold, I have come to do your will. He abolishes the first in order to establish the second. And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Now, you remember, we read that Jesus took the unleavened bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, eat this. This is my body that's given for you. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Now, keep that in mind. So, is this a new covenant? I just read to you, yeah. Jesus' men didn't get it. It went right over their heads. But Jesus was initiating a new covenant. God was initiating the new covenant. So he said, from now on, he wasn't telling Jews they couldn't celebrate Passover, but he's talking to these Jewish going to be Christians. He said, now when you eat this bread and when you break this bread, remember me. This is what this bread represents now. It's my body. It's been given for you. He said, you have prepared a body for me. You weren't pleased with sacrifice and offerings. When Jesus came to be baptized by John, John testified to the people, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Peter writes, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Now, Peter was at the table. I know you're saying, duh, I know that. Peter didn't get it till after he received the Holy Spirit. Peter didn't understand it. I see Peter, the older Peter, sitting writing this letter saying, I remember that night. And reality clicked. Peter got a hold of it and he said, he bore our sins in his body. That's what the Lord was talking about when he said, this is my body that's given for you. He came to bear our sins in his body. The Apostle Paul said, he made him to be sin who knew no sin. I can't imagine the agony of the cross, the physical suffering. But when you multiply that with him having to bear sin, who knew no sin, had never had to suffer the consequences of sin, having those consequences placed upon him on that cross. You talk about suffering. So the Lord, when he broke the bread, he said, this is my body. From now on, when you eat this bread, do it in remembrance of me. Then it says he took the cup and he blessed it. There were four glasses of wine served at the Passover meal. Now in the first Passover, there's no mention of wine. But over the years, the Jews have established four cups of wine for the meal. I read there's a fifth cup that they set on the table. Nobody drinks it. That's for the prophet Elijah when he comes to announce Messiah's coming. I'll tell you, after two or three houses, Elijah probably bouncing off both sides of the door when he got there. But that's their reasoning. That glass is for Elijah. But every one of the glasses have a significance in the Passover meal. One of them is, it represents the blood of the lamb that was shed in Egypt. But Jesus takes that cup and he says, now, this cup is my blood. It's poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Now, as I said, his ministry, okay, yeah. This cup of blood, I know it's a cup of blood. We've done this for a long time. We know this is a cup of blood. Jesus said, this is my blood. It's poured out for a new covenant. The scriptures say God found fault with the law, and he changed it. It bothers me when I see churches and individuals and people think that they still have to observe rituals in order to get to heaven. Especially legalistic rituals. I've talked to Christians that, well, we can't eat pork. Why? Well, because we're Christians and we can't eat pork. God forbids eating pork. That was in the law. Jesus pronounced all foods clean. You can eat a ham sandwich with a clear conscience, church. God's not going to go, hey, I can't eat pork anymore. I can't eat beef. Dot mentioned bacon and eggs for breakfast. Now, man, I miss my bacon. But it's not a sin for me. It just makes me ill if I eat it. But it really irks me when somebody, and I've had people, well, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't eat pork. If you're a Christian, you shouldn't eat shellfish because God said not to eat shellfish. Do you eat catfish? Well, yeah, I like catfish. Well, God said fish without scales you shouldn't eat. So, physician, heal thyself. What I'm trying to get at is we don't need to add to the gospel of Jesus Christ, church. I'm not against morals. I'm all for morals. God's moral law has never ceased. Ever since creation. When God said, you shall not 3,000 or 4,000 years ago, he still means it. Too many people in the church today act like God's taken a Valium or something and he's calmed down. God doesn't get angry about stuff anymore. Yes, he does. God still calls sin, sin. The first Passover was instituted as a commemoration, as a memorial for the fact that God delivered Egypt, the Israel, out of the slavery of Egypt. What's this one for? That Jesus Christ came to deliver his people from the power of sin and death. That's what this blood means. The scriptures say the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. Now, I've heard people say, well, under the first covenant, they were covered. They were covered. You weren't forgiven. But if you read the Old Testament, there's several times God says, I will forgive you. You offer this blood sacrifice, I will forgive you. But what was the problem God had? It didn't take away the sin. The writer of Hebrews said every year there was a memorial over and over. Alfred the adulterer was offering the same sacrifice every year because every year he was Alfred the adulterer. It couldn't take away sin. Jesus Christ came to break that power, church. That's why this preaching I hear, but well, we have to sin in word, thought, and deed. That really bothers me. If you want to be honest, we need to say, well, we choose to sin in word, thought, and deed. Well, what about Romans chapter 7? We're not here to talk about Romans chapter 7. Don't get me sidetracked or we'll be here all day. Okay? Jesus came to deliver his church from the power of sin, the slavery of sin and death. Just like God delivered Israel out of physical slavery in Egypt, Jesus Christ came to deliver you and I from spiritual slavery, which the Jews were subject to the whole time they were in that first covenant. I just told you the scripture. The blood of bulls and goats couldn't take away sin. No wonder God wasn't pleased with that. What was God's intention? I want to break the power of sin. I don't want to just cover it. I don't want to just forgive it. I don't want to have to repeat this year after year after year with no change. I want to change people. Now that change is a consent of your will. And there'll be people on the internet here that's just going to freak out and roll over and play dead. That's fine. But that's the way the scriptures teach. We are free will creatures. God doesn't force anything on us. But he has given us the ability through Jesus Christ to defeat the power of sin in our lives. And Jesus shed his blood to make that so. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I'm preaching myself happy. The scriptures say, but when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Praise God. The Bible said Jesus didn't have to suffer year after year after year. One time. One time. The scripture said he offered one sacrifice one time, and how long is it good? Forever. I'm glad I don't have to go hunt a priest down every time I goof up. I wouldn't have enough animals. Yeah, I would. Man, I'd be the poorest sheep farmer in Wright County if I was raising sheep and had to sacrifice one every time I sin. Can you imagine the hopelessness of that? But Jesus said, I'm pouring my blood out one time. It's all it takes, one time. And you'll be delivered forever. Yeah. What a God we serve. I'm here to tell you, church. The Apostle Paul said to the church at Rome, God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. What's my point? This is God ordained. What we call the Lord's Supper, God ordained this. God instituted it. God put it in place. God was the one that carried it out. He didn't look at me one day and say, well, Rick's getting to be kind of a good guy. I guess I can save him. No, the Bible said when I was his enemy, he chose to save me. When I was shooting up meth and doing all that other vile stuff I used to do, God said, I'm going to save him if he'll just call on my name. If you'll just look to me, Rick, I'll pull you out of that. And one day I finally got smart enough that I had nowhere else to look but up. And I said, oh, God, save me, have mercy on me. And God said, I'm right here. And he broke that power in my life. Am I bragging on me? Nope, I'm bragging on my Lord. Do I struggle with it? Yep. Almost every day. But I don't walk alone. That's the difference between back then and now. Then I was trying to do it all by myself. And I was trying to cope with things the only way I knew to cope with things. Now, my Savior walks beside me. The one who shed his blood for me. He's given me his spirit. And we can have a communication. I can talk to him when times of weakness. I can say, Lord, I'm having a terrible day. Please help me. There's been times I've told the Lord, if I still drink, I'd go on a 3-day drunk over this. And the Holy Spirit would go, yeah, but you don't need to do that. I'm right here. What the law could not do. I think the King James says what the law was powerless to do. God did. God did. He said, by sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Christian, you have a choice. I have a choice. If you have the Spirit of Christ in you, the Bible says you belong to Christ. If you don't, then you don't belong to Christ. And Paul said, if you have the Spirit of Christ in you, you have a choice. I have a choice. Am I going to walk by the flesh, or am I going to walk by the Spirit? We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit here in January. I've decided to do a series, All Things New, all through the month of January. We're going to talk about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I won't do it today. Jesus gave no set time to observe this memorial. And I know that might get your hackles up. Well, brother, we believe that in the early church, it says in the book of Acts that on the first day of the week, the disciples met to break bread. Yes, it does. Does it say they did it every first day of the week? Well, no. Did Jesus say every Sunday, like clockwork, every Sunday you will observe this communion? No. What'd he say? As often as you do it. Now, why am I making that point? Because I've met people in the Church of Christ and Christian churches, we get kind of a big head. Well, you can tell we're God's church because we do communion every Sunday. And if your church doesn't do communion every Sunday, shame on you. Jesus didn't say do it every Sunday. Am I against doing it every Sunday? No. The early church took communion every Sunday. I know this from history. Why? Because they were under such intense persecution, they wanted to keep that in the forefront of their minds. Jesus suffered for me. I got to suffer for him. In fact, I read that if you missed a couple church services, the deacons or the elders were coming to your house saying, what's your problem? How come you don't want to fellowship with the Lord? Boy, if we treated people like that today, we'd have fewer people here than we do now. Yeah. Man, I just wasn't feeling very good. Okay. You know, there's times I come up here to preach church, I don't feel well. No, I'm not bragging on me. I'm just saying the Bible says let's not forsake the assembling of ourselves, as some are in the habit of doing. And we see a lot more habit of that, don't we? Well, my dog Foo-Foo was sick and I had to stay home and wipe his nose. Okay. Foo-Foo's runny nose more important than fellowship, more important than worship, more important than this table. A Baptist preacher friend of mine asked me one time, he said, why do you guys do communion every Sunday? I said, well, in the book of Acts, it says they met on the first day of the week, and we've always taken that to mean, you know, that Sunday. He said, aren't you afraid it'll get mundane if you do it every Sunday? I said, how often do you do it? He said, twice a year. I said, aren't you afraid it could be mundane if you do it twice a year? He goes, what do you mean? I said, it depends where the heart of the worshiper is, not how many times you do it. I said, it can be mundane if you do it once a year. What's the focus of this table? It's not to launch our opinions. It's not a platform to preach mini sermons. Okay? It's a focus on Jesus Christ. Yeah. That's what this table's all about. When we gather around this table, what did Jesus say? Do it in remembrance of me. Don't think about the ball game that's going to be on when you get home. Hope the preacher gets done in time, that I don't miss my ball game. Darn it, last week my roast dried out because of him. You know, get that stuff out of your head. We're here to focus on what Jesus did. when we partake of this bread, Jesus said, that bread's my body that bore your sins on that tree. When we drink this juice, he said, that juice represents my blood that I spilled for you. It's a memorial, church. And you know how important it is? Jesus said one day he'll drink it anew with us in the kingdom of heaven. I had somebody ask me one time, do you think we'll eat in heaven? I said, well, the Lord said he's going to drink wine with us in the kingdom of heaven. Well, he meant grape juice. Jesus didn't drink wine. I'll tell you what, if you make it to heaven and it's fermented wine, you take that up with him. The fact is, Jesus said, I won't drink of this fruit of the vine again till I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Do you think at the heavenly table, when they're serving this, that people's going to be giggling and snickering and whispering? No. Every eye is going to be on the master. Every eye is going to say, I know what you did. I'm here because of what you did. God, I want to honor you. That's what this table's about. It doesn't mean that we don't have things on our mind, we don't have problems when we come in here. And I hear people twist scriptures and try to beat people with that. You know, well, if you think you got unconfessed sin in your life, you shouldn't take communion. Well, then nobody take it. I'm sorry to say, but none of us would take it. Paul said to examine yourselves. The church was getting drunk and eating all the bread before other people got there. Paul rebuked him because he said, you're not keeping this in the forefront of your mind. Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb, was sacrificed for us. Paul said, church, that's the focus of this table. Now, this was a man that grew up eating Passover all of his life. And this was a man that got a hold of what Jesus did. And he said, he's our Passover lamb. You didn't come here to get drunk. He said, if you want to get drunk at home. You didn't come here to stuff your faces so nobody else had bread that got there a little late. He said, we're there to honor the Lord. That's what this table's about. And I know you know this. I just really felt it laid on my heart that we needed to talk about this. Sometimes it's easy for us in our minds to be distracted, to think of other things, and we don't take this serious. This is a holy thing, church. This is holy. It's a memorial to remind us of what God did. What the law could not do, God did. And I think we owe that to him. When we partake of these emblems, we owe that to him to be focused on the cross of Jesus Christ. And to say, thank you. I thank you so much that you poured your blood out for me. I'd like at this time to go ahead and take our communion together. Thank you.